Come, champion. There is battle to be waged.
The ultimate ultimate. This is Core.
This is Core. I'm Scott Johnson with John Jagger and, of course, Bo Schwartz. And I have a thought, a theory, a thinking, a little thing that's been rolling around in my brain and making noise. I need to get it out. And here it is. There was a lot of fear back in the day. When I say in the day, maybe a couple of years ago or maybe even a year ago or on and off, you would hear people say, well, Blizzard's going to start cannibalizing their own player bases here. They've got all these new games coming out. They used to basically be the World of Warcraft company. And then they became that, and StarCraft II were being developed, and then, you know, Diablo III was being developed. And now they've got all those things in the wild, multiple expansion packs for each, and a bunch of new games, one of them being Heroes of the Storm, soon to be Overwatch, Hearthstone, and so on. And it occurred to me that this might actually happen now, because I don't think it has up to this point. I mean, it's given people distractions and other games to play when they're not playing one of the core Blizzard experiences, but I don't feel like that cannibalization has happened. But I, after a rigorous beta testing weekend last week and regular play in Overwatch, I worry, and I would worry the same thing if it was reversed on timing, but I worry a little bit that Overwatch and Heroes, those two player bases are often very much the same people who may not have the kind of time to split between the two games that they would like. And because it will be the new hotness next June or whenever they make a broader beta, people who play Heroes may flock to Overwatch in numbers that could potentially impact Heroes. And some would say, Scott, hold on a minute. You're talking about two totally different genres. They're in, you know, they're in very different areas of the gaming spectrum. Why would you think that there'd be a conflict there? All I'm saying is of all of their properties, they seem like the two that stand the most potential of having a conflict for people's time, given perhaps because they're both so competitive in nature. They're both very fast paced. They both lend themselves well to at least Overwatch potentially anyway, to esports kinds of experiences. So what do you guys think? Am I chewing the crack this week? Is it crazy to think that this might be the first Blizzard game to create a rift between games in their own ecosystem? Not that they care, they're getting their money either way, but am I right or am I wrong on that?
I think that does affect some people. For sure, they are the same kind of game in the sense that I find with, particularly with Heroes and with Diablo, you might be logging in for 30 minutes to an hour just to play a bit, and then you end up getting sucked in for a longer period of time.
Sure.
I feel like you can't do that with WoW. I feel like with WoW, you're gonna have time to play it. And if you don't, you're just going to log off. Like I feel like that's where the danger is. So as someone who say primarily plays Heroes, that's me. When the Overwatch beta came out, I thought maybe I'd play some Overwatch and then switch back to Heroes, but I ended up just playing Overwatch that whole weekend. So I think in the short term with the newness, I think a lot of people are going to get sucked in from other games. But I don't know if I'm going to play Overwatch to the extent that I've played Heroes. I've put in 3,000 games now on Heroes. And
hold on a second. 3,000?
Yeah, I'm at, hang on, I can give you the exact number.
Can I find out what mine are? It's nowhere near that, obviously.
Yeah, but if you go to your profile in game, if you right-click your portrait and view your profile, on the bottom right and under general information, it'll tell you how many games you've played. So I have 3,106 games played.
Oh, my Lord.
And this is since January. I think I bought in. I think you could first buy into the beta back in January of 2015 of this year. So, you know, even though there have been other releases since then, I've come back to play Heroes. I suspect that's what's going to happen to me with Overwatch, but I'm probably part of a more hardcore group. The more casual group might say, well, Overwatch just has prettier graphics. It's in 3D. It's the new hotness. The characters are more relatable. Like, they could actually, you know, they do stand that risk of taking away their casual base to that game. But it's all a win column for them. As long as they're playing Blizzard games, there's no problem. I think that's how they have to look at it.
I'm looking. So, John, I want to hear from you on this, but I'm looking at my. Where did you see the stat on your summary of games played? Where is it?
View profile on the profile summary on the bottom right where it says the types of classes you play.
Yeah.
Warrior, assassin, support specialist.
Hold on. View profile. Okay, yeah, I see it. And then. So I'm nowhere near you. I'm at 671 games total.
Yeah.
John, do you have any idea where you're at?
I'm pulling it up right now. Take a look and see where I'm at.
I was kind of afraid to see it because I'm like, I knew it was nowhere near Gorath time. Like, no way Bo and I have the same amount of games under our belt.
I put it a lot more time.
Yeah,
I have 804.
Yeah, you're beating me. Wow. That's interesting. I didn't know that it was there. That's like this game slash played, I suppose.
I mean, if you multiply that by the average game time, let's say 20 minutes, you might come up with a figure.
Yeah.
Well, oh my God.
So John, as a guy I know who really, really liked the beta so far, really likes that game and thinks very highly of Overwatch at this stage. And I think agreed with me once or twice about how it kind of scratches the same itch, or not the same itch, but those games don't feel, they don't feel disjointed when I want to go from one to the other. It feels good. Right. There's an easy transition, whereas the transition between, say, Diablo 3 and Heroes is sometimes a little jarring, mostly control-wise, and sort of, you know, mechanics change a little bit or enough to just sort of throw you off your game. But the other way, it's weird. I could go from a bunch of Overwatch games into Heroes and actually play a really good Heroes game because I feel like I'm kind of keyed up for it or something. I don't know. It's hard to sort of explain. But where's your head on all this?
Well, I noticed something really interesting lately between Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm, and that is, you know, with the holiday and with the Overwatch beta and just everything that's been going on, there has been fewer people in Heroes consistently. And what I've noticed is when I pull up my Battle.net and I'm trying to decide where I'm going to spend my time, they put your friends list right there and show you which games they're in. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't have friends to play with, I was logging into Overwatch. Mm-hmm. If I did have friends to play with, I was more inclined to log into Heroes.
Interesting.
And I think that's a testament to Overwatch is a bit more forgiving in terms of I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't have to rely as much on my team in Overwatch. Mm-hmm. That's not to say teamwork isn't important or anything like that, but there's less strategy inherent.
Even when you have a strategy, there's a level of chaos, like the kinds of chaos that messes up a play, for lack of a better term, in Heroes is not the same that happens in a team shooter. Like if something happens in Heroes and you're like, shoot, I got caught out front. There are kind of two ways to go. Retreat, or let's go all in and dive on these guys, or, you know, like you kind of know what your standard handful of moves to do next are, kind of like football or something. But when it comes to Overwatch, you can have an overall sort of strategy. This is how we're going to push this map. This is what we're going to do, blah, blah, blah. But in the end of the day, there's so much going on and so many stray bullets and so many stray grenades and so many stray weird things hitting all over the place all the time. And a constant death rate and players changing characters to sort of change things up, that it becomes more of a blueprint and not the law, what you're doing as a team. And so because of that, you can solo queue in a game like Overwatch and still feel pretty good about yourself that day. And it's not always, well, in fact, it's more often than not the case that you will not feel that way if you're solo queuing in Heroes. So I completely agree. I think I kind of can see that, but you know, at this stage, it's difficult to say because it's just a beta with limited people, and those limited people are trying to maximize their time in that beta because they don't know how long it's going to last, or, you know.
Right. And we also don't know what kind of legs Overwatch is going to have. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Overwatch is going to be a good game. I think it's, you know, I've had a ton of fun with it and all of that, but we don't know what sort of progression it's going to be. To have as far as characters, you know, what you're unlocking. It could very well just be a case of, no, you come to play Overwatch matches and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Blizzard will put in some form of progression, leveling up, unlocking things, but we just don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't this drive to keep pushing and pushing and pushing for more things in Overwatch. It tends to just be, you know, that's the game I play when I feel like playing Overwatch. Whereas with Heroes, I feel like there's things to work towards, to log in every day for, and all sorts of stuff like that. So I think it's a little too early to be 100% sure one way or another on it. But I do think the potential's there, because I have felt it. You know, I have felt a pull between both games dividing my time. And there have been times where I've said, oh man, I really want to play Heroes, but everybody I know is in Overwatch right now, so I guess I'll play Overwatch. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but that is a conscious choice to play a different game.
It's also Blizzard's choice to make that a thing you can even do. Like, to be able to get on the whole promise of the Battle.net friend sharing stuff when it was originally being talked about and everyone was so stoked about it or talked about it in its early stages was, oh, if I've got all my friends over playing, I don't know, whatever other game they're playing, I can join them. Or they can join me or whatever. It seemed to be agnostic towards what game you were in. The system is designed to spread you around the ecosystem, not contain you within one game or another. So I think Blizzard's cool with it. The only thing I would worry about is that if it splits the base, like if it tickles the fancy of the player hard enough, why, and they don't have as many reasons to play one or the other, well, then that messes with MMR, messes with matchmaking, messes with all kinds of stuff.
But I think it's going to be a case of, I think it's going to split it both ways at times. So I think it's not going to ultimately be a problem, because I think it's going to be a case of, oh, you know what, I feel like Overwatch today. And yeah, that might detract from me playing Heroes of the Storm, but that doesn't mean that the next day I'm going to say, ah, you know what, I'm in a Heroes of the Storm mood today. So I think it might, you know, cannibalize the audience, but maybe for a play session or so. I don't think it's going to be, I'm putting Heroes down because I'm going to just be strictly Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big distinction to take into account, too.
I agree.
There's a few other differences, too. I think the release schedule for Heroes is going to be much different than Overwatch. If Overwatch is like a spend $40 to get a content drop and then we don't know what the rest of that plan looks like. Heroes is come back into the game because every 3 weeks we've got a new hero or a new map. So I feel like they're also just going to be played on different cycles.
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's something really, a lot of people were disappointed when they heard that Overwatch was going to be a single game. Here's your 21 characters. Oh, what's that? What?
Well, they've announced that it's a price, but did they actually say it wasn't going to be free to play?
Yes, they said it would be. So they gave us the three versions, right? They said, here's how you will buy and play this game. The first version is the $39 one. That includes all 21 heroes. That includes none of those bonus skins, but it's the game. It's all the maps and all the heroes.
So they didn't say no, though, right?
Well, they didn't say no. I mean, that's the thing.
Did they do the corporate thing where you're like, hey, will there be free-to-play options? Well, we're going to charge $40.
Yeah.
That's that like kind of like PR language that is like not saying no if that's this. I don't think that's what they're going to do, but I was like scratching my head trying to figure out if I saw someone anywhere actually say no to that question.
Well, here's what we do. I think we can say this with some confidence. If they've got three characters in the wings and they've got one finished and they come out with it 2 months after the launch of the game and say, if you want this new character, he's $10 or he's $15 or something. And it includes, I don't know, or, you know, along with this new map we're releasing to the entire community, there's also a new character you can buy if you want it or whatever. I wouldn't put it past him. And I would probably say that seems smart for them. It's really just DLC at the end of the day. I don't know what the release, you know, sometimes I wonder what the difference between DLC and updates is, because, you know, a Heroes update can be every 3 weeks. DLC is usually, you know, 6 months after the release of a AAA game or something.
Like, I still find it weird that game's going to be a paywall. I feel like it still feels like a free-to-play game.
Well, if it is, then they're really playing dangerous and on the edge. It's a slippery slope if that's what they're doing, because to come out and say 39 for this, 50 for the middle one, or 60, I guess it is, $59.99. for the one that has all the extra skins, and there was some other thing. Oh, and it comes with Tracer for Heroes. Yeah. And then the big one, which is the statue and the physical stuff and all that for the collector's edition. So if that's what they're going to do, they've sort of played their hand and said, look, this is a traditional video-ass game here. You're going to buy this game like you buy video games. And if they are then going to immediately turn around and say, and every month will be a new character you can buy for $10, or here's a stim pack to get better, whatever. If they start throwing that stuff in there, it's just a dangerous line to walk. They have to be careful.
Yeah, it seems like they wouldn't make that mistake. But I was just looking for official Blizzard voice saying there will be no free-to-play in this game. And I don't think I heard that, and I just feel like... when we talk about the future of Blizzard and how that affects other games that are free-to-play, because their biggest... I think right now their biggest properties are free-to-play games.
Yeah.
So if Overwatch is not going to be a free-to-play game, I don't think it's going to be their biggest property. I think it's going to still be Hearthstone. I think Heroes is going to still be bigger because it's free-to-play. That invites people in as part of the environment. Like when you're playing Overwatch, you're only playing with people who bought the game, and all those free-to-play people are not there for you as cannon fodder. So it seems a little counterintuitive to their current successes with Heroes and with Hearthstone.
Yeah, but on the other hand, their entire company success is based on the other model, and I'm not saying that this may be a step backwards into a model that is no longer a thing people want to mess with. But, you know, like on the competitive scene, people are really into Counter-Strike Go, and that game costs money. Not a lot of money, but, you know, you have to pay for it. It costs more at launch than it does now. You can get it for, I think, for 20 or something now, but it's still a pay-to-play game, whereas...
Oh, it's $8 right now. It's on sale.
It's on sale, yeah. There's a
regular
Black Friday stuff going on.
For the game that this is, I think it would be insane for them to do a free-to-play model.
I kind of agree. Now,
I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying it's weird that they haven't said no free-to-play. Unless someone write in and tell us or point me to the right direction.
I predict expansion packs that take it to the next level so that they do it like they've done most of their traditional games. If you want to play Diablo 3 and never get Reaper of Souls, you can certainly do that. You'll have a nice current patch that fixes loot problems and issues like that, but you're not going to get any of this new content unless you buy the expansion, and you can perfectly well do that if you want to.
Yeah, and I think because I think part of the deal, I know at least with Heroes, is that I feel invested in Heroes partly because I've spent so much in it. I think a game that you spend a lot in, you may actually play more because you're financially invested in it, and you know, and you've put a lot of time into it, you tend to stay or you tend to make that part of your lifestyle.
It's cyclical too, because the reason you're putting money back into the reason I put money into Heroes is because I really like it. And the reason that I really like it is partially due to the fact that I've thrown some actual monetary value into it, and that just stacks on itself and becomes a cycle of this is what I do and I like this game enough to spend money on it. Happens with mobile sometimes. I'll play something really great and go, you know what? I'm giving them $4 because this is great. I like this. I'll buy a bunch of those dumb gems or whatever it is that they're doing. That occasionally, very rarely, but it does occasionally happen, and it's a testament to the quality of the game. It's just once we've played it, so this is where... John, I totally agree with you. Once you've played Overwatch, you go, oh, yeah, the way this works, you can't gate these characters out. It just doesn't work that way. They have to all be there. I think they've had this conversation like at length. I think this was probably very early discussions with them, and they had to go this way because to make the game they wanted to make, they needed all 21 of those heroes to be playable anytime, anywhere by anybody who has the game. The only ticket is to buy the damn thing and get in. So whether or not that sticks is probably a whole nother show and conversation, but you know, you could see them inserting things like stim packs for XP for whatever their progression ends up being, or you could see small transactions like that. That's not unheard of. EA does it with their games. Big retail $60 games have, you know, you could play, what was it? Mass Effect 3 had that multiplayer mode and you could spend real money on boosts that would get you through that stuff quicker.
Oh yeah, I loved that multiplayer.
It was good. It was really well done. Yeah, I liked it. It's a lot of people are sour on the payment thing, and again, Blizzard will have to walk whatever line that is. But more to the hero side of things, what I hope happens is the other way around. What I hope is that action gamers get excited about Overwatch, and then they start thinking about, well, geez, what other awesome competitive thing can I do over in this ecosystem? And then they'll run into Heroes, which may have seemed daunting as a MOBA, and realize that they're much closer cousins than they think, these two games, in a lot of ways, at least in tone and in feel and in focus on gameplay and things like that, and less on the traditional MOBAs. So anyway, that's what I hope.
Yeah. I'm just, because I think what I'm driving at here is like, I feel like Overwatch is really awesome, but I don't personally see it sort of threatening my Heroes time. I think there's a lot more reasons for me to want to play Heroes more consistently than a game like Overwatch.
That's an important thing to hear from you, because I just want to let everybody out there know, Bo pulled like 2 14-hour play days in Overwatch.
I played a lot of Overwatch because on the beta weekend.
Yeah.
As if it was the most reasonable thing a person has ever done. Let me be clear. we legitimately feared for his life on Monday when we hadn't heard from him.
Yeah, it wasn't until like 2 p.m.
Yes.
And we're like,
we
is Bo all right?
Dead.
Is he okay? Because we don't know where he's at or what's
I'm
going on.
I'm not as young as I used to be, so these things take their toll.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, it's a great game, and it's totally worth it. And so is Towers of Doom, it turns out. Let's talk about that map for a minute. New battleground in the game. It was on the PTR previously. It is now in the wild and happened Tuesday. And so far, it seems like every time a new map comes out, I hear this exact same thing, which is a bunch of people don't know how it works yet, so matches are a little fruity at the beginning. I remember when Battlefield of the Eternities came out, and it was just like, what are we even doing in here? And then even my first few times in that, I did not understand what the crap we were supposed to be doing exactly, or you know, when to defend, when to attack. And this, you know, this to me is sort of the same. But once you get, you know, a little bit under your belt. Oh, man, this is the coolest map they have, in my opinion. Any
right
dissenting votes?
You.
You're right there with me, right, John? You were just saying earlier tonight when we were playing it, you're like, oh, this map, I just to say I love it doesn't say enough, or it isn't the right word or something you said.
Yeah, because it's just, first of all, it is the best looking map in the game, in my opinion. Mm. Like, the look of it is incredible. The idea that you have the Raven Lord and this Gravekeeper just at war with each other, and here's these two characters that were introduced in Heroes, and now they're warring with each other, and you're, you know, kind of forced on a side and helping them, and they just bicker through the entire thing like an old married couple, and I've opened a teleporter too, like, just, it's so fantastic. Like, the atmosphere is so great. You got the Headless Horseman in there. I just love everything about this map.
It's real good. Bode, you concur?
I'm still hesitant to endorse it fully. But I'm not going to poo-poo it just yet. I still need more games. I find it doesn't come up that often. I know I lost my first 4 games on it, but I attribute that to people going and trying to apply their traditional MOBA sense to it, which, you know, you can't push in the core, so there's value in taking enemy forts, but it's not the same kind of value. Mm-hmm. If you're pushing in a fort top, maybe they're taking in something bottom. You don't get there's no permanence to killing a fort like in traditional maps, where once it's destroyed and it doesn't come back.
That's an important thing to note here for those who don't know what the big difference here. This map features towers on both sides, top, middle, and bottom. Or no, just top and bottom, is it?
No, top, middle, and bottom.
Top, middle, and bottom. Yeah. Yep. So once you destroy one on the other side, which they currently have, it all crumbles and goes away, but then is reborn as one of yours. So the tower that was once red is now blue and it's now fighting them. They need to take it back. So it provides not only a great way for you to do damage to heroes and minions, but they strategically need it so that they don't, you know, they don't have to come walking past that thing every time. And it's a real disadvantage to have it, but there's no ultimately pushing the lane in. Like, you can't push the lane all the way in and get to the core.
Here's where I know, I think I was having this conversation too, and someone asked me that, where it's like, it's new, so I don't want to immediately be like, I feel bad about this, because I need time to process it. And one of the things that John and I learned yesterday, I learned something brand new that I didn't even know, that might have been out there as information, but you can take camps to do damage to the core. Mm-hmm. Which I thought previously you couldn't do anything to the core when you owned an enemy tower. Mm-hmm. So there is that. There is, like, you can, you know, progress towards winning the game by controlling their towers. It opens up the avenue for those suicide pumpkin guys to you know, launch themselves into the core. And so that, like, is a tick in the positive direction. I think for me, one of the things I like about MOBAs in general is that sense of progress as you know, it's got its one foot in the RTS genre, which is all about building up and then getting everything destroyed. And so with this map, nothing gets destroyed. You know, there's no structures getting destroyed. And so it's just it's unusual. And I don't know that I would want every map in the future to kind of look like if this was a direction that Blizzard was going, or if Team One was going with all the maps, I don't think I'd find that very favorable, but I like it as a one-off.
Yeah, that's totally how I feel about it. I think it's a brilliant one-off, and I think that they could do many. The thing that excites me is the assumption I'm making is that the norm will always be, well, we can always fall back on, here's three lanes, here's normal pathing, here's a, you know, here's some AI or human controlled golem ideas or whatever. And they can always get away with those because that's kind of the standard. But when they do stuff like this, and I guess another example of this would be like what, like,
this is like Black Hearts Bay. I find it closest to Black Hearts Bay.
Yeah, and that's a map I also really like, and also a type of map I don't want on every. I don't want 10 more Black Hearts Bay maps. So, So I hope you're right. I mean, well, I guess I agree with you, and I hope what they do is make this one cool special. You know.
Well, so I feel like my strategy for Black Hearts Bay has always been like be better at team fighting and camp Black Heart. Mm-hmm. And just take all the coins and win the game.
Yeah.
And like, you know, prevent, go and get camps while there's downtime and prevent push in. But ultimately, you know, the key strat is to do that. And this is the same where it's like, be better at team fighting and show up for the objective. Even if you don't own any of your forts, you can teleport into the middle, win the team fight, shoot one. Like they won't win. The one thing where the strategic complexity gets added are the camps. So if you're winning all the objectives, the enemy team could get all the camps and usher in the suicide bombers and the boss. But it still has that same feel of like just be better at team fighting.
Yeah. But isn't that I feel like every map is be better at team fighting in the end, right?
Yeah, but I love those, you know, we're losing and then Shmerik Ben Schmeihawk's in the bottom lane as Abathur going like, I'm winning the game for us, guys.
Yeah.
You know, because they, you know, the team mistakenly sent all through all their resources at one plan and we were able to poke a hole. And there is a bit of this on that map. I just don't know how much it's going to feel like solo queue teams can take advantage of that depth. That's a good point.
But like if you let's just imagine a scenario where the other team is just rocking you and you're down all these points and your only real option is to clear that bottom lane and own those towers and then flank around your suicide bombers so that they can all get over there. I mean, you potentially could do, you know, let's say you get two camps, you could do 6 full points of damage on that core of the 30 total it has, in a really fun and shocking and overwhelming way. Like to have that, to pull that off and to have those guys go off when they hit that barrier is really a nice feeling. Like you feel like you've gotten something done, you know, like you've really taken somebody to the prom.
Well, and that's.
I don't know what that means.
Must have had a good prom. Then.
Yeah.
All right.
might not have enjoyed their prom, but.
Sorry, John, you were going to say.
Scott's prom was definitely better than my prom.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what we encountered in the game Bo and I played. So the first match that I had there. It was really interesting because, you know, like he said, he didn't know that the sappers could throw their heads over the wall and damage the core. And apparently, nobody on the other team knew that either, because what happened is we got them down to where they had 2 health on their core. And I told Bo, oh, let's just go take top minions and we'll win this. And he said, what? And I said, yeah, just let's go take top. And he said, okay. And so while we're doing that, their whole team is pushing bottom. And our team is pinging like crazy, like, oh, guys, get back down here. They're pushing, guys. What are you doing? And we just went and took the sappers up at the top, and they wandered down an empty lane. There was no resistance whatsoever from the enemies and lobbed their little heads over, and we won the game.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of a testament to this whole people haven't learned all of the depth and mechanics that are there. Because there are definitely some interesting tricks that you can pull on your opponents.
Well, and that,
you mentioned
that
we were Cho'Gall.
Oh, you got Cho'Gall. We were Cho'Gall. That's hilarious. That's even better. So you're just this big lumbering two-headed idiot with all these pumpkin heads. That must have been great. They probably thought you were the worst Cho'Gall ever, and then you won the game. That's amazing. But here's the thing, though. Like, that is a weird mechanic, right? It doesn't have a natural intuitive, like, you're never going to just guess, oh, I'll bet when they get to that border where everything else gets destroyed, including us, they'll just lob their heads over and cause, you know, it's not like an automatic assume on that particular mechanic. The video explains it perfectly well, but how many players are watching that? I don't know.
Apparently me.
Yeah.
I watched the video.
I did too, but yeah.
I feel like I play a lot and I stay pretty informed and I felt pretty humbled when John was like educating me on how the map works.
Yeah.
Like,
you've played thousands of games more than we have. Yeah. And but that's my, I guess what I'm saying is almost, I'm kind of in your favor or to your point that it's not obvious. Like there's nothing about that that's obvious. They had to explain in the video because how the hell else would you know?
So John and I, we had a conversation post game about this very topic where we concluded, well, I think I concluded, I'm pretty sure John agrees with me, that these videos and this supporting material should be in the game client. So if you're doing a map for the first time, it's like, hey, watch this 20-second video. We're going to explain all the mechanics to you. That way people can't be like, I had a Hero League game where we drafted and it says the map game and I still got in the game and people were going, hey, what's this tile set? Like, what map is this? What are we doing here? I'm like, no, I'm going to lose Hero League game again.
So they hadn't even heard. Yeah. In those cases, that's them not even knowing there's
like,
a new map.
You play Hero League and you don't like, are you, like people just don't like, we assume everyone keeps up. Everyone's a big fan of Heroes and they just keep up with on all the sites and all the podcasts. But you know, there are people who play this game who just log in and stuff happens and they're like, oh, that's great. Who's this two-headed guy? When was that?
When did that guy come in? Wait, is he one guy or wait? Oh, there's two guys. Like, it's weird.
There's a lot of people who play who just don't know, just know about stuff's coming when you're in the game with them.
That's an interesting idea. Like if you had a little preview button that let you just, you know, let Uther walk you through it and just go, ah, on this side you do that, you know, and just sort of quickly explain things, or even the video they already put up on YouTube, just embed that thing in there. That's a great idea.
Yeah, or require training. Like they have training when you first start playing. So when there's a new map, we could have Uther walk you around the map. Yeah. Right click or, the fountain.
What about this? Here's an idea. Because I have kind of felt recently that the introduction to new hero videos, not the ones where it goes over their abilities and it's like a deep dive on the hero and all that, but the ones where it's like, I am Cho'Gall and I blah, blah, blah in the Nexus, like those.
Right.
I felt like those went from being super great to really generic lately.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What if they changed that to, instead of being just focused on the hero, if it was just a short little video telling you what to expect from this patch, and if all they did was just put in a new hero and that's all you got for the week, then sure, it can just be their generic hero. But in this case, like, what if you came in and said, you know, it was a video that came up and said, oh, in this patch, you know, we've added Cho'Gall. He's actually controlled by two different players in one character. Here's how he's unlocked. Also coming soon is the Towers of Doom. Here's the mechanics, quick little descriptor of what it is. And it's just right there on the main page once you're actually in the game client. So you would have to skip it. And then you can't really complain about them not telling you the information.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. I don't know. I think you'd have to pry it from their dead cold hands, so to speak, to tell them to stop making intro movies about the characters and their personalities and the hype machine that is. I think they're in love with doing that.
I like them. I just feel like they've gotten real bland.
I kind of agree. I don't think they've been great lately. I think the last really good one we saw was maybe Johanna's, maybe.
I liked Leoric's.
Oh, Leoric's is good.
It had a funny ending.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I feel like they spend a lot of time, sweat, and effort on the Butcher one, and then they just ran out of time. Like, oh, shit.
The Butcher one was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great.
Do you think this 3 weeks is too tight of a timeline? Like, so if Blizzard were to step forth and say, hey, we want to commit more time to the quality of each release, celebrating it more, now it's going to be 5 weeks or 6 weeks, do you prefer having, given the choice, would you rather they extend it, or would you rather have a hero each month that you could play? That
I would rather do what John's suggesting, if that's the choice, which is to skip that, make it a little more, you know, not generic, but informational, in the client, blah, blah, blah. Like that seems more beneficial to the game base than it does to anything else. I'm just saying I don't think Blizzard ever gives up on that, even if it means they have to make slightly more generic character intros. And they don't even have an intro for every character they've ever done, which is a little bothersome for me because I really enjoy those things. So I don't want them to go away necessarily. I guess maybe there's a middle ground. They don't all have to blow my socks off. It's fine if they're...
Yeah.
They don't all have to be that Asmodan one, which is amazing. Or, you know, even other generic ones that are sort of okay. Like the Jaina one's okay.
The Murky one's awesome.
The Murky one's great. Like I felt like they had more time then. Clearly they've had less time on these more recent ones, but I would rather them have less time on that and more time on good quality releases on a regular basis. So
yeah, I would take what we have with every 3 weeks over, well, the video's better, but now you have to wait an extra week for a hero.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Because that would, and that would literally be them waiting for another department, you know? Like, that's them going, all right, cinematics, you know, or hiring more of them, or, you know, like, it's that's complicated. So I think what they're doing now is probably fine. And if they're generic, it's okay, because they kind of blew their wad on the original, you know.
Well, so wait, you guys are talking about the cinematic, like the machinima, right?
Yeah, like we're talking about the in-game, like, intros. I am Rexxar, and I don't never hunt alone, that stuff.
Because okay. I'm like, I could skip all that. Like, what I think is important are the, here's what E does. Here's how you use
it. Oh, I agree. I agree, and that's what John's saying. And I agree 100% with you guys. I'm just saying they'll never do it. I'm saying Blizzard is in love with doing those. This is something that they pride themselves on. It's something they do with all their games. They're never going to stop making those.
I don't want them to stop, honestly. Like, I like them. I look forward to it every month. I'm just thinking, like, there shouldn't... If we're going to be in a world where they're releasing maps that get more and more unique, they have to have a better way of communicating what those mechanics are to the player base that don't listen to podcasts, that don't visit the websites, that... just want to play Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
And the loading screen, little three panels saying, here's how you play the map, isn't going to tell you that.
No. In fact, does it even mention those Siege dudes?
No.
I don't think it does. Which is,
I don't even know what it says.
Yeah. Because we're usually looking at the goofy names of the opponents we're about to play.
Right.
We need training videos. We need little introductory videos. And I think, like, I think some of those cinematics make sense when you've got Thrall coming in. But when I didn't need a trailer for the medic. Like, yes, they made a character out of it, but, like, it was kind of uninspired because there's no existing lore. Like, it's not like...
Morales is back. Thank goodness.
I'm here to heal. I never let somebody die. I'm generic doctor number 7. Like, I'm like what every doctor tries to do.
You know, I'd argue the opposite, though. I would say it's more important for Morales than it is for Thrall. We know who Thrall is. We don't need a video to figure out who Thrall is.
Just show some gameplay from StarCraft 2. You know, PvP and be like, here's the medic.
They could do this. They could just be literally like, you know, the screen's black. You're hearing some cool sound. Boom, there's a hero. You show 5 or 6 of the moves he does. And then big name and the big cool rendered picture of him next to him. And then and that's it and you're done. Like, does it have to be, oh, when I came to the Nexus, it was a dirty place. You know, they don't have to explain the whole, like, they don't have to give us a big backstory about how they came to this weird Nexus thing.
Yeah, I think you just nailed the part I don't like, is that every single video has become just like, I'm blah, 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 and my philosophy in life is to play the role that I've clearly been assigned by Blizzard, and I never hunt alone.
It's a really good point.
You win. You get the cynicism award of the week.
Yeah, you totally do.
It's just so. It's a little too formulaic. I don't necessarily like that. I think when they inject a little more personality into it, I like it a little bit better.
Well, let's talk about where the rubber meets the road. The DreamHack tournament happened, and there was a bunch of really great heroes play. This is all the first real tournament play. You know, it's high level play that we've seen in a sort of televised streamed way. Shouldn't say televised, it wasn't TV, but anyway, at this event in Europe that was post all the changes, the scaling changes that they made to the game. And you saw a pretty interesting change in a lot of the meta and the hero pool, the heroes being chosen, how often they would win, that sort of stuff seemed to change quite a bit. And I guess we expected that, but some of the characters I was not expecting to be used in ways that they were used. Bo, you found us a bunch of data on how this all broke down. Let's talk about some of that, shall we? The most interesting bit, anyway, were sort of like what heroes got played the most, what got played the least, what was their win ratio, what was their involvement. Involvement meaning kills and mechanics and lane clearing.
I don't have a lot of first-hand anecdotal information. I didn't watch the tournament except for the finals. Mm-hmm. John, I think you were watching it all throughout, though.
I caught bits and pieces here and there, and it was a good tournament. It was interesting. It was, you know, some people that we had seen at BlizzCon during those finals, although a lot of those teams have seen massive overhauls of who's actually playing on them. So similar in name, but not similar in player base. And it was a good tournament. It had perhaps the most insane finish that it could possibly have had.
Explain that. What did we miss, or what I miss? Because I miss most of the stuff because of the stupid holidays and family around. I shouldn't say stupid. They're all very nice people. But what was the gist of that? What happened at the end?
So the final moments of the final game involved a double team wipe, essentially, almost full team wipe at the core. And Leoric is there just wailing on the core, essentially by himself, trying to take the core down. And slowly members are coming back up and fighting him, and he's kind of working his way around. He's still trying to get the core down. And then they ultimately manage to take down the Leoric. And at that same moment, minion waves on the other core destroy the other core.
It was like 3% to 0% or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
It was
really?
It was, and like a lot of the matches were close like that. It was pretty nuts.
Now, does that, you guys, I mean, this is, I don't think we have the wherewithal to make this sort of thing, but let's say it anyway. Do you think that the changes to the game, the scaling changes, that's the result of that? Like those close games, those close calls, those weird last minute things? I mean, a lot of that was what they were trying to.
Well, the late game, the scaling changes affect the early game. So right. The late game is unchanged from the scaling. In theory, once everyone gets to level 20, it's the game you know and love from before, or even probably an earlier level. There's a level at which point the scaling change is no longer in effect, really. Mm. But throughout the middle portion of the game, I mean, definitely the disadvantage of being down levels is less so. And the main result, the main place where conversation takes place around the scaling changes are the kinds of heroes that pro play is seeing. So notably, they're the highest winning heroes with at least 4 games played in the tournament. The list tops out with Thrall with 7 games played, but a 71% win ratio. The fact that Thrall is even being played in competitive, is the strongest, I think, harbinger of the scaling changes and what changes it brings. Oh, that was a terrible sentence.
I liked it. It was good.
Thrall is definitely purely affected by the changes to scaling and things like that. But we also have to keep in mind, and one thing to also throw out as kind of a disclaimer as we talk about some of this, is this was a European tournament, and the European meta is definitely different from what we're used to in the U.S.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But that doesn't, I will say, hands down, Thrall was not popular in Europe prior to this change. So that is definitely a case of the scaling changes altering the way.
As soon as the scaling changes hit, all I heard from everybody I play with was, dude, you played Thrall, yeah? You played Thrall, yeah? Like, everybody wanted to talk about how Thrall was, like, suddenly, you know, war chief again in this game. And that seems to bear out in this tournament, at least with these games played. I mean, 7 games played is not a ton of games played, but still, you know, it's a high win rate.
You know, it's an indication. I've been seeing him a bit more in the Hero League matches I've played, but I think the jury's still out as to whether or not it's enough. As an assassin, you still wouldn't rather have Raynor or Kael'thas or the usual suspects over Thrall. I think he's stronger. I just don't think he's now king of the hill.
Yeah. It was I was very curious to see where Morales would end up in all of this, given her still sort of relative newness, and her sustain on certain characters is pretty awesome. So I kind of thought she would just be, you know, way up in this list, but turns out she's not. She's kind of toward the end, toward the latter half of the pack, with 9 total games played and only 44% win rate, which seemed low to me. I was surprised by that. I don't know why.
She's a very specific purpose, which is like just healing and the stim packing or mobility. I feel like other supports provide a bigger kit, which, like, you know, Tyrande had the involvement in every game. In every game, she was either banned and picked. Mostly banned out of all like 36-ish games. She was only played 9 times, but she was banned every other game. And that's because she does provide healing, but stuns are so useful. Stuns win games more than healing, arguably. If you have to choose between the two, you're probably choosing stuns.
Yeah.
And Tyrande does both. And she gives vision, which is also super important. So,
you think we'll ever get a support hero that is just nothing but a stun monster?
Stun.
I mean, that's kind of what Decker Kane. It's kind of what Decker Kane, dude. Stay a while and listen. I can't wait for that ultimate. stay a while and listen, bonk, and everybody can't move for 3 seconds or something. But I maybe that's what she is. Like, maybe she's the person I'm describing, but a character, could you see a character coming into the game where it's like this character just does nothing but stun everyone constantly? Like, they bring Mei in from Overwatch or something, and she just does nothing but freeze people in their tracks.
I don't think they would, simply because I think it's going to go back to an old, old, old philosophy from WoW, which is being stunned isn't fun.
Mm.
And I think if all of a sudden there was a character that just constantly kept everyone locked down and stunned, people, you would just see that constantly banned, because we will eventually get to where we can ban. Nobody would want to deal with it. Everybody would hate it. And everybody would complain about it, because it's not fun to be stunned. Stunned should be the thing that happens suddenly and abruptly, and you either survive it or you get penalized for it. Like, it's kind of this intense, sudden moment.
Yeah, chain stuns are already a thing. I mean, we played a comp with Kael'thas, Kerrigan, and Mirrodin. Three stuns back to back. That person's dead without ever controlling their character.
Yeah, I've never seen a Tyrael go down like that before. Like tonight.
But if you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, we just burned him so fast because it was stun, stun, stun. But I agree with you that those, it's not like those are always on. They're on cooldowns. They're on. They need to be coordinated. Like, there's a. It's not just simply just stun. Whereas, you know, if you're healing, you're just healing. Or if you're, in other words, I know what you're saying. Like, nobody. If we have a character that runs around and does nothing but stun people, that's probably bad. Yeah. But I just wonder if it would be like Tassadar, in that he doesn't really heal, but he does this other thing that's clearly supportive. And why not something that was like that, but more utilitarian? Maybe less stunning, but rooting, which is the same as a stun, pretty much. I don't know.
Both Tassadar and Tyrande, notably, I don't think are ever picked as solo supports.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's the other issue with them, is that it's not like we're saying they're solo support worthy. It's that rather than take an assassin or it's another specialist or another warrior, we're choosing a second support because of how useful their abilities are over other ones. Yeah. So, yeah.
They're very
Tassadar, notably, also third most involved character. Got played in 20 games and banned out in a couple of them as well.
Jeez, 20 games. So when they say 100% involvement, what does that mean? Involved in every fight?
Involved in every game in some way, whether banned or played.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought that meant how much they participated in that, like team fights versus lane pushing versus something else.
No, it just means like, because even if you're banned, you're still part of the meta. Like, that's still an indicator of who the top heroes are, top picks are for competitive. So Tassadar is huge. I mean, he just provides vision. He provides control. A lot of people take Forcewall in competitive. You often see Forcewalls and not the other one because of its ability to isolate and, you know, one person for the whole team to blow up. And I think you're seeing him more because you're seeing less Zeratul because Void Prison is a pain in the butt to use now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be too close to use it properly. So I think that Forcewall is kind of a pseudo Void Prison. It's accomplishing the same goal, which is to isolate one person from the rest of the team.
Yeah. Well, I think we all know who the important Protoss is. It's fine. Tassadar belongs right where he's at. It's good.
The head of the church.
That's right.
I think the most surprising involvement one here is ETC. He got played in a ton of games.
Yeah, 28 games, 100% involvement.
Again, he's usually not a solo tank. He's also usually part of a team comp that has two warriors in it, and because his utility is the mosh pit, again, the crowd control.
And he did, what was he, number, fourth in win rate, 64.29% win rate for ETC, which is pretty strong.
So ETC is strong right now. Jaina, Zagara, they're all the usual suspects. The only one that was unique here is Thrall, and it's a pretty small sample size. But he did perform really well.
Yeah, so. the big stinkers, if you go just purely by the numbers here, bottom of the list for actually games played. I'm looking at the numbers. No, Vala got played in less games. She only played in five. But anyway, Malfurion at the bottom of the list with 16.67 win ratio, percent win ratio. Vala with only five games played, 13.89% involvement in any of the games. I'm a little surprised by that. She is always a pick in the competitive play I watch, and it seems like she was barely a factor.
I think she's underperforming though. I think she get picked a lot in competitive, but I was always thinking of it as a bad pick. Because of the popularity of blinds, mm-hmm. Like auto attack champions never really get picked in these competitive matches. And if you're going to take an auto attack champion, you're better off going with Rainer, who didn't even measure on this list just because it works differently in competitive.
Sure.
The value for competitive play is on crowd control more so than just straight up DPS. So you see a lot of the picks sort of work that way.
Well, it's interesting. It's an interesting breakdown, and it's funny, I missed all the games, but I'm almost just as interested to see what direction the game takes. And John's right, the meta takes a different shape in different regions, so who knows what that does here? I guess we don't really know because we haven't had any big tournament play or, you know, anything to sort of look at and say, well, what are the pros doing? But that'll come soon enough. Also, what else happened? Oh, check this out. The year-long Stim Pack came out along with the sale on all their other stuff. I have a couple of bones to pick here. Bone to pick number one. It's still, that's too much money. It's, what is it, $60 for a year? $50?
$60 for a year of Stim Pack.
$59.99 for a year.
50% savings if you were to just buy it month over month.
Yeah, it's half off, which, you know, is pretty good if that's how you were buying it before. I was buying it, what, 3 months at a time, 90 days? And that was, so that's, what was that? That was, what
no,
is that?
30 days. There's no
30?
90
I'm not, it's not 90, I meant 30. Yeah. So there's the 7 day and the 30 day. If you're buying the 30 day, this is half, at the end of the year, this is half of what you would have paid. I still don't think that's good enough. I would have, if this would have been $25, they'd have had me. When they said deep discounts, I just didn't feel like this was that deep. I mean, I guess maybe half off is pretty deep. I don't know.
It depends on its value. So we had a big conversation last week about this, and I've had a lot of shower time to just think about Stim Packs. You know, you're in the shower and you think about things.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Stim Packs. That's what I do when I'm in the shower. I think about Stim Packs.
and the more I consider it, the more I'm not puzzled by the fact that people aren't reacting to this same disdain that we reacted against the auction house for D3. Mm. I think that there is no content associated with Stim Packs. You are getting everything you're going to get in the fullness of time for money. And you might say, Bo, there's a lot of this out there. However, this is Blizzard, and we have a different expectation on them. And I think the big thing was with the auction house, whether true or false, you heard a lot of, oh, we're getting nickel and dimed for virtual items being traded back and forth all the time. There was a lot of disdain for that service. This, now, other MOBAs have Stim Packs, but that's not to say that's something that Blizzard has to do. The fact is, in the mobile space, I remember there's a game like Tiny Towers. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd take forever to do things. I'd never want to pay for that. I'm not getting any content. It's rushing. Yeah. This is the same thing. And they don't have another game that does something like this. Like Hearthstone, yes, you can spend hundreds of dollars on packs, but you're getting something. There's an agreement there and content's coming on the other side of that. With this, there is zero content. So actually, we should be mounting an offensive to get this entire notion out of the store. I think it's a blemish on an otherwise very good game. And I think they really need to rethink this. And I don't think they should be earning with all the skins and heroes and microtransactions available to them as options. This is wholly unnecessary for heroes.
Well, and as a player of the game, it was hammered home again that I'm not spending money on that anymore ever. I don't want it. I don't need it. I'm with John and others 100% that what's in there now is too slow, and that with a Stim Pack and bonus time a couple of weeks ago, that finally felt right. All of those things are still true, but I agree with you. I'm not getting jacked for it. And if I could spend that money, that 50 a year will buy a whole big old video game or five new characters and heroes plus a skin. Like,
or buy a gift for your loved one. Like, sure. Are you married? Take your wife out on a date. Don't justify it with, oh, I don't play a lot, so I want to speed up time. The gaming community, and we all hate this as gamers, there's tons of games that are there just to suck in the whales,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But no one wants to be. Do you want to be the guy that spent $5,000 on Farmville?
No.
Or the guy I saw the other day who spent $30,000 on Star Citizen? Not Kickstarter funding. That's different. Just on buying ships.
That stuff is ridiculous.
$30,000
on ships.
Now, like, look, if you got millions of dollars, I guess I kind of understand that you're in a whole different buying category than I am, but it seems redonkulous. And I agree.
It's just that Blizzard, to me, is a prestigious company who makes quality games, and that this is not a quality. This is not a quality product. There is no Blizzard quality on a Steam Pack. It's a rip. It's a complete rip, and it especially undermines Blizzard's core values.
I kind of agree. So, John, put on devil's clothes. I want you to advocate for the devil here. What do you? Are we wrong, or do you agree?
Are you asking me if I? I totally agree with everything you all said.
Yeah. Did you buy a year anyway, though?
I bought one.
Only Blizzard quality is like the look of the picture that you don't even get to look at when you buy. Did you buy a year one?
Yes, he did.
Sorry, I must be at a time delay or something.
No, this is great.
It took me a second to process that. Well, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I want to say I want Blizzard to feel bad because your customers love you. They love you and they're willing to spend $60 on nothing. How dare you treat them that way? Yeah, awful.
It seems
shame on you, Team One, for this.
Who knows if Team One's really the ones responsible or not? This could be a bunch of suits and math people in between, but
they probably have Canadians working for them, like in that South Park episode.
Probably. Yeah. Why wouldn't they? But John, it's funny because you agree on principle and otherwise, but you were just like, I still got to do it. I got to get it because you made very clear last week, and it's something that I think is. You made a really important point. The progression of the game is important to you. You like leveling these characters up. You like getting them to 10 and unlocking their skins. And like, that's a huge part of the game for you.
Here's what I asked myself. Here's how I justified it to myself. Point one, I have spent more money on dumber things for video games than this. Let me tell you, as a lifetime subscriber to Star Trek Online, that I have made worse decisions than this.
What was that, like $250 at the time or something like that?
I don't want to remember.
I think it's awesome that you supported it that way. I pre-ordered Duke Nukem Forever before there were returns. Like, we've all made bad gaming decisions because we're gaming fans. It's not your fault. It's Blizzard that's responsible for this.
Right.
I'll
let you go. Okay. Yeah.
The point number two. I looked at it and I said, okay, in a year. Do I think I am going to probably buy more than 6 stim packs in a year? Mm-hmm. And I was realistic and I said, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And at that point, it became a value. Like, it was getting ahead of it. Like, yeah, I'm probably going to do it. And I will also say this, I feel bad saying this while it's still available, because I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to convince them that this is an okay thing, because I do agree with you and Bo, but I can see this happening. I can see Blizzard rethinking how stim packs work and making a change and have it retroactively apply to people with stim packs still active. And now all of a sudden it's a better value for whatever reason. And now all these people are having to buy them at the full price because now it's a good deal or whatever else it might be. And now I'm grandfathered in.
That's an interesting point, because basically what you've done is you've reinforced your trust that Blizzard will do right by you by predicting that. And I'm not saying falsely. They probably will.
I hope so.
But that's interesting because what Bo is saying is true. This feels like a thing Blizzard should know better about. And at the same time, you're still willing to do it because you believe that the way they iterate and the way that they hone things in, they'll find a way to make it right. Like, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, that says buying implies everything's okay, though. It's a vote.
It's supposed to, yes, it's supposed to. But there's also that, I don't know. I do this. If Blizzard said tomorrow, "Hey, we're making a game in 10 years that's going to be in the StarCraft universe. We don't even know what it is yet, but you want to pre-order it now?" I'd probably think about it at least.
But you're going to get content. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, I have issues with pre-orders too, right? Because what they do with pre-orders is they get all that money and then they earn interest on it. Like, you're not earning the interest anymore because you gave the money earlier than you had to, except you don't probably make that much interest, but it matters a lot to companies.
Well, especially in digital. It's horrible with digital because there's no inventory. You don't need to give them money to hold something for
you. They're just like, can we hold that money for you so we can get a ton of interest on like a couple $1 million?
Yeah,
you know,
it kind of sucks.
Yeah. So I'm not going to pre-order things unless I want to support the company, because one of the things that it does is, you know, if you're making a game and then you got consumer confidence with a lot of pre-orders, like that's a good thing for your game. Like, I like to pre-order when I really want a game.
Yeah.
But the issue is you're getting at the end of the day, you will get content for it. Yeah. At the end of the day, there is even, like I said, a Hearthstone pack, which is like nothing. It's 5 JPEGs at random. It's still content. It still qualifies. This is you are not getting anything unique from a stim pack that you aren't already going to get as you put in the time. And as we highlighted, it's still on the order of years before you're going to be able to level everything up and get all the master skins.
Well, there's a whole half of an eternity is still eternity. But you're right. But there's also there's a whole economic argument somebody could make. They could say, well, look, you could say, well, I'm going to mow my lawn myself, even though this isn't true, but let's say one of us had some giant mansion now and we got this huge yard. We got our own riding mower. Like, you know what? I'm going to mow it every time. Well, why? Well, because I don't want to pay some kid $60 to do it per week. I don't want to pay $60 a week for some kid to come do it when I could just do it myself. I just invest the time and the sweat and do it. And at some point, your time, in theory, becomes more valuable than the actual money you would spend. Save by mowing the lawn yourself. Some would argue that
this is artificial. I mean, the whole universe and the rules in it are created by the developer.
I completely agree. It's like the speed up stuff with mobile games. You're not wrong about that. That's really all this is. It's just it's a less obvious one than your granary is building. Do you want to pay 14 crystals and have it finished now, or wait in a half an hour? It's different than that, but it's still the same concept. They're all constructs of imagination. There's no actual little dudes building something inside your phone while you turn it off for an hour.
It's all make believe. There's for free to play companies saying, well, we don't make money, so we'd like to monetize some way. I say, okay. That makes sense, you know, but there is a line. And I think when there's no content, that's a line. You're investing in the company, but getting no returns, essentially.
Well,
and because you are everything you get with a stim pack, you will get in the fullness of time. I did a little survey. Not many people responded on Twitter saying, what if you got every month a random skin as a gift? Would you then want to buy stim packs if you don't already buy stim packs? And it was yes. It was like the one person voted no and like seven people voted yes. And to me, that's value. At least you're getting some content along with your money. I think there has to be something more than just, oh, you earn more XP so you can level up faster. Like, people would riot in Warcraft if that was the case.
Again,
you can level up to 100 with it, which I think is kind of, that's for people who really want to have alts, I guess, in Warcraft. Yeah. But when I buy the expansion, I get one for free.
Yeah.
So I still feel really good about the way they offer that content. But $60, I mean, whew.
Yeah, it's a chunk of change. But also part of me loves that John bought it, even though he totally agrees with all of this.
Well, we love John. We're not judging John.
Not at all. We're judging whoever made this product. Exactly. No, if anything, this just paints the picture of John as a dedicated player. What he's doing is, it's funny because even in theory, I agree with his thinking that Blizzard will improve it and grandfather him in, because they always do. Like, they're not going to leave him out in the cold and say, sorry, if you already bought this, guys, F off. I mean, they always give gold or something else when they do other things like that. The other deals in the sale kind of left me a little cold. And I think part of it was I have Steam's disease, which is, I always am excited about like a Steam sale, and then I see everything come on sale. I either already own it or don't want it. And I realize, oh, this is no longer for me, this sale. I'm already buying this stuff the last four times they had the sale, and now they're out of things to sell me I want. So it's not that I'm disappointed with Steam. It's just that I own everything they want me to get. And this kind of happened here. It was like, oh, well, these bundles are okay, but the thing that I really wanted was the second chance deal on some of the mounts and skins and stuff. And I felt like that was a total yank. It was $18 or whatever. All I wanted, you guys, all I wanted out of that deal, with the exception of maybe one of the mounts or something, But all I wanted was that Jaina Christmas outfit. That's all I wanted.
Okay, and let's ask first. Did you get it?
No, I didn't. Because, again, out of principle, I was ticked. So I did not get it. And because I didn't want to spend, I didn't want to spend $18 on characters included that I didn't want, mounts included that I didn't want. This whole Last Chance bundle, I didn't know was going to be sold as a bundle. I thought they'd all be individual stuff again, like they were originally. A $10 skin for her. In fact, I would pay just the full $10. Don't even need the 50% off for the sale. Just let me pay $10 for your stupid Winter's Veil Christmas outfit. And I would have been happy. Instead, they made this big $20 bundle that I was just not interested in most of it. And I just said, forget it. I'm not doing it. I guess no more Jaina, no Jaina holiday for me this year. So that kind of bugged me. But I get it. I totally get it. But this Last Chance stuff or this bringing it back again, it plays on this artificial scarcity that doesn't actually exist. It's this digital polygonal thing that you can give me. There's no reason to hold it back. There's no reason to have it. Act like you're out of stock on them, or the only way you can do it is through this bundle now. That kind of silliness.
They don't have a secondary market to compete against either.
Yeah,
you know, like in trading card games, sometimes this stuff gets affected by, you know, that you can just buy them from resellers, and that's not a factor here. So,
and I thought they were getting past that because they would sell the charger separately, or the it's not even a good example. Like the skins that came out for Rainer's Western stuff, and he had the horse. Well, I thought. When that was getting announced, I thought, well, that'll be a bundle I'll have to buy the whole thing for. But no, I can buy that mount all on his own if I want to. You can buy a bundle too, but I can also buy them individually. And I ended up doing that for a couple of those during the sale. But why not that other stuff? The second chance crap, but lumping it all together, that's a cash grab and it pissed me off.
We only have 5 more reindeer mounts available, so act now. They're going fast. We're down to 4 reindeer mounts.
Oh, no. And look, as Nazebra, we're on the last one. If you want the Nazebra, get in now.
Two of the Nazebras stabbed each other with their horns. It's awful, but you can get the one that's still healthy.
It's so fake and artificial, and I just am irritated.
You know what the worst part about that is? What? Is if they broke it out, the bundle provides a discount, so they'd be getting more money for the Jaina skin.
Yeah, they would be, and I would have bought it. I would have paid the full price for it.
I still think you should do it.
I can't. 18.
That Jaina skin's great. The reindeer's great.
Look, he's got 3 Jaina skins to begin with.
I do. I wanted to finish out the collection.
Yeah, the Jaina collection.
The Jaina collection at Kmart. But they don't let me in a way that feels a little shitty. That's all.
Yeah. You're up pissed about it. And you're allowed. You have a right to be.
Yeah. I mean, look. It's first. This is not me saying, hey, anybody who bought that bundle should be ashamed. Of course not. You buy what you find value. If you think that's worth the 18 or whatever. I guess it's a. I mean, it's more if you don't already own some of the stuff that's in that bundle. But
bundles are supposed to get if you want to buy something for $10. And you can get one something for $10 or 4 somethings for $20, then maybe you go with the $20 because you're getting more somethings, even though you want one thing.
Right.
That bundle was like $13 for me, I did it.
If it was $13 for me,
that was pretty cheap, and I was like, well, I want the Jaina skin and I want the reindeer mount and, holiday Rexxar I don't really care about, but sure, why not? As an added bonus, that seems okay.
Okay, you make a good point. And if it was only $13 for you because you owned other stuff, I would have gone with $13. Like that I would have said, oh, great. And that's the funny thing is you and I have not spent any or more or less money than each other for the same stuff that if we all ended up with the same stuff. But for whatever reason, it's just bugging me. Like it's only we're talking about the full price of a normal mount. And then $8 for for a skin. And then I get some extra stuff as well. It's not even that. It's that they artificially jammed it all into this package that doesn't need to be a package. Like, and that's the only way you can get it. It's like going to Costco and saying, I need popcorn. Well, sorry, sir. If you want popcorn, you're going to have to get toilet paper, a shirt, a pair of pants, and a basketball. I hope that's all right.
Yeah, but you're going to really love that basketball.
I saw some. I saw a tweet too. Someone tweeted Dustin Browder about the Nazebra, which is also in this package.
Yeah.
And he was pissed because the Nazebra had some exclusivity tied to buying a larger bundle in the past. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now you're throwing it into this bundle? Like, I thought I had exclusivity when I bought it in this other bundle.
Yeah, so
like,
he even has Inception exclusivity or Inception feeling of. of artificial, artificial scarcity. That's just annoying. Have them just on the store for me to buy any damn time I want and put them on sale when you feel like it. It's as simple as that. Like the other stuff, super awesome deals. I bought Teriel's charger for $5 because I've been wanting that forever, and how dumb not to buy that for $5. You know, I mean, that makes sense to me. If you'd put Jaina's outfit out there, I'd be wearing it right now.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, it is.
Her water elemental becomes a snowman.
I'm still slightly tempted. I'm still slightly tempted, but if I end up doing it, I'm going to be mad at myself for caving.
It's a really good skin.
Yeah, but then he's got to buy a Rhaegar skin.
Yeah, and I don't care about Rhaegar at all.
You don't even own
Rhaegar.
Yeah,
but what if one day you like Rhaegar?
I like him when Dan's controlling him and healing me with him, and that's it.
But what if you discover you're a fan of Rhaegar?
I'm a Rhaegar fan. What do they call that? I'm in the closet Rhaegar fan.
I never thought I was going to like Kerrigan, and I've been playing a ton of Kerrigan.
Did you say a Rhaegorian? Is that what you said?
Rhaegorian. Whatever came to mind.
I like that.
I also heard Bo say Nazebro not too long ago, and I'm real okay with that term.
You're totally
fine.
Because
every time I think of the Nazebra, I think of the bro from Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so Nazebo would wear a Nazebro. It's a brassiere for men, witch doctors.
I also have a slight distaste for what's the other thing that's included in there? Oh, the reindeer mount.
The reindeer's great.
He looks like his name should be Rusty. He should have gas. He should be gross. Like,
no, he's awesome. And his third skin has the Horde logo spray painted on his side.
How long do these deals go for people who want to know?
I feel like it was for the Black Friday thing, so it was 2 weeks from last Tuesday.
Okay, so you still got time on it. It's called the Second Chance Bundle. I'm looking at it now. I own the Lunar Tiger and the Magic Carpet already. So those were two things I already had. The only things left were the Nazebra, the Reindeer, Great Father Winter thing, and then Jaina's outfit. And that whole thing for me is $18.75. I don't know why that seems worse to me than paying $10 twice, but it does.
I don't know. Getting the mounts is a cool thing to me. Like, to me, as far as what I put value on in this game, number one is, as far as stuff you can buy, is mounts. Because I use that on multiple characters for multiple reasons. Sometimes we want to do just something dumb. And I actually like the reindeer. I think it leaves, if I remember correctly, kind of a cool trail. Like I said, it's got the Horde symbol spray painted on the side of it for the third skin. And, you know, the Nazebro mount, that's pretty cool.
Okay.
I think they're all great. Like, they're all great. Like, these are all great. The point is not whether they're bad or not. I mean, Scott can dislike them.
Oh, I know.
Them,
we're arguing the principle. I'm trying to make Scott buy something.
All right. Let me tell you something that just happened. Let me tell you something that just happened on a screen over here right next to me.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I went ahead and did it. Because, yes. Look, here's the truth. I had forgotten. I mean, here's the
all
thing.
All right, it's fine. Congratulations.
Because, look, Jaina's was worth 10 to me alone, okay? The Nazebra was worth 10 to me alone, and they just weren't available for me anymore. So they were already things I was willing to spend 20 good, hard-earned American U.S. dollars on back when they were available and I missed out. So the fact that I'm getting both of those for less money, if that's all I was getting, I'd be paying less for them right now on this price. That's my justification for right now. And I also got the dumb reindeer, and I got Rhaegar's stupid thing. And that's fine. It's fine. I own it now. I'm hitting the back button. I'm hitting exit now. Everything's fine.
You know what's going to happen now.
I'll never play Jaina again? Is that what you're thinking?
No, for the December, they're going to put that back out by itself.
Listen, John, your work is never done. You're like, man, you should really buy that. And then he buys it. And you're like, you know, it might have been a mistake for you to buy it.
Good on me for doing it then, because if that ends up happening, it gives us a big thing to be pissy about when it comes around.
Well, and it'll be full price when it comes out.
Yeah.
So here's what you'll say. You'll be relieved because you'll look at it and you'll say, oh my gosh, this skin is now half of what I spent for all this other stuff that I got.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'll be fine with it. You'll be all right.
Well, tell me if you guys are all right with this. HOTS Logs, which is highly regarded as a place to track your sort of progress in the game, know how good you're doing, what your win rates are. You know, it's kind of the best thing we have right now as a third-party tool to sort of track who you are and what you're doing. They are making suggestions for sub-roles for the characters. In fact, they've full-on named them. So, for example, we talked about this a lot last week, and this is how they break them down. Tank, which includes Chen, Cho, Diablo, ETC, Johanna, etc. Bruiser, which is more of your Anubarak, Artanis, Arthas, Leoric, Sonya, and Tyrael's. Although, would you put Leoric in there? I guess you would.
We had a debate about that.
John and I, we'll get back to this.
Okay, let's circle back to him because I want to talk about that. For healer, they have Brightwing, Karazim, or as a caller says later, Jim from Utah, and he wants to keep it that way. Lili, Morales, Malfurion, Rhaegar, and Uther. Support, they've just got the two that you know and love, Tassadar and Tyrande. And then Ambusher, this is a new one. Kerrigan, Nova, The Butcher, Zeratul. Let's see what else. Oh, Burst Damage, Jaina and Kel'Thas, just those two. Sustained Damage, Falstad, Gaul. Of Cho'Gall fame, Illidan, Nazebo, Rayner, Thrall, Tychus, and Vala. And then Siege, they've got Asmodan, Gazlil, Sergeant Hammer, Sylvanas, Zagara. And then Utility, they have Abathur, Murky, and the Lost Vikings. Where's Cho? I missed that. Did I miss
Cho? He's in the tank.
Oh, he's in. Okay, yeah, I missed that. So let's circle back. Do you like these headings, and do they make sense?
Yeah. I love the headings, and I think they make sense. I think the debate comes into where we have placed maybe some of them, but I think it's a very cool... I think it's better than the four that we have.
Okay. Fair way to put it. Bo, do you agree?
Yeah, I think it. You still do miss some of the subtleties, like Sylvanas could easily be a team fighting sustained damage, same with Zagara. I mean, the fact that she's put under siege, like, these feel like adjectives to characterize them overall, but they still, I don't know, I think having 10 different titles, it confuses people in a game with 5 slots.
Like,
what do we need? An ambusher? No, we need sustained damage. No, we need a siege. How about a bruiser? I feel like this is useful for having a conversation about them. I'm not sure if this works for convenience, like team building. I don't know, especially in solo games.
Also, like, what if they introduce something that's radically different? Like, what if something, like, they put Karazim as a healer on here, but he could fit nicely in Ambusher if you spec him a certain way.
Sure.
He's like an ambusher with a little bit of a heal.
Sure, he could be an ambusher.
Yeah, you could call him support the way Tassadar and Tyrande are in a lot of ways when he is spec'd for damage.
But I feel like the same argument can be made with what we have now, which is he's listed as support, but he can do damage, so he can assassin. Mm-hmm. Why is he listed as support if he can assassin? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you look at somebody like Sonya and you say, well, she's not really a tank. She's kind of more of an assassin. Like, why is she listed under tank? Like, it's the same argument. I think it's just a different heading. And one thing that I think we need to keep in mind is that this is a third-party site doing this. Mm-hmm. So far, there's been no indication that Blizzard is going to adopt this in any way, shape, or form. So we need to not look at it as if it is in the game right now, because it's not. It's just the third-party site saying, hey, we've come up with a new metric. I happen to like it, but I can see a future where maybe next to a character it lists, hey, warrior tank next to a character, as opposed to just warrior or warrior bruiser. And it's just kind of a generalization, you know? It's a more specific generalization than the generalization we have right now.
Yeah, but I just always get the feeling when this issue comes up and these guys are now doing this and we got a lot of emails and calls about it, I think Blizzard's had these conversations like 1,000 times. There's no way they haven't. Like, there's no way that they haven't discussed this sub-classification of these characters, and are we being granular enough with the 3 or 4 we have now? And they probably aren't 100% satisfied with where they're at, but they're okay kind of with where they're at. That's just how they make video games. So it's in a weird way, it's like this is all for the benefit of players. Like, yeah, they are different. They all should be in these subcategories. But at the end of the day, it's not like Blizzard went, oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe we shouldn't. They're not doing that.
How could we not have seen this?
Yeah, we didn't think of that. I don't know why it's that voice.
I'd love to see Dustin Bradder get his sarcasm on.
Dude.
He's like, because he's so serious on Twitter. He's like, fixed it. Yep, we'll look at it.
Yep.
If he just turned around one day and lost it, it was like, oh, geez, we have a bunch of geniuses on our team.
Thanks,
we
you
didn't
guys.
Even think of it.
I didn't think of subcategories. Oh, that only means one thing only. Time for phone calls, 801-471-0462, or you can email us core@heroesforyou.com. That's core@heroesforyou.com. Again, that number is 801-471-0462. This guy's got some ideas for us.
Hello, Core. This is Holy Moses. I have an idea for Just Pixels that I'll be happy to pay $5 for. I want WoW raid markers for Heroes of the Storm. I can put the blue square or the orange nipple over me. This way I can quickly identify myself, even in a crowded team fight.
Hold on, can I just say?
The orange nipple. I love it.
His love accent it. Is awesome.
It's so good.
The German, I assume he's German, maybe Austrian, but I want to have the orange nipple on top of me.
Guys, this guy took the time to write in. Let's not.
It's amazing, though. This is not me making fun. This is me loving it. I love it. So send us more calls. All right, here's the rest.
Of course, it's only be visible to the player that sets the marker. You don't want to see someone else's nipple. It might be awkward. Moreover, I want the skull marker too, which will be visible to the entire team. Every DPS since the inception of time, which is WoW of course, know to focus the skull. This will help to coordinate a random group. Please tell Blizzard to make it so.
Okay, because we have that kind of power, right? We can just say make it so and they'll just do it.
Guys, we've seen enough of the orange nipple.
I got a little distracted by all the nipples flying.
I might have too. I was too focused on nipples.
Well, all he's saying is like those raid indicators are pretty convenient, so you know.
Circle. It's in English we call that the circle.
Yeah.
No, our raid team definitely calls it the nipple.
Yeah, it's always been the orange nipple.
The nipple, the thong, the moon.
The moon. What else? What's the other thing? The skull.
The square.
The square.
And isn't there an X?
There's an X. Yeah. X. Everyone on square, everyone on an X, somebody root, a nipple, like that.
What do they call that test? A Rorschach? It's like a Rorschach test. If you see a nipple, then maybe there's something.
Yeah, like what do you see? Oh, I see two faces, but really you're seeing a reverse image of a vase or whatever. It's like
I would pay Blizzard $5 to replace the orange nipple with just a high res picture of Asmodan's nipple.
I wouldn't. Let's discuss.
I wonder how high resolution they have his nipple.
This guy proposed having raid markers on Heroes maps, which I had never thought of before. And I think I think they shouldn't charge any money if this was a feature they added into the game. I do kind of like the idea. But if sometimes people, especially when they're silenced, tend to ping a lot and that gets irritating. I think if everyone had control over raid markers, they'd just be spammed all over the place in solo queue games. Mm-hmm. But I know from when we play our 5-stack games, like today we played some games with a 5-man crew. Because I'm like, meet over here or over by this thing. It would be nice to actually like ping. Not everyone pays too much attention to the ping, depending on your ability level. It would be nice to put a raid marker somewhere.
Yeah, or like how about an even easier here. One? Say like A through E, or markers that literally say A and B and C and D and E, and just say, like all right, everybody to C, everybody back to A. Like instead of having to go, everyone back to bottom left camp, be specific about the map location, just have these indicators, or blue, everyone to yellow, everyone, you have people sometimes with colorblindness, but still. Like something like that.
I think this caller had I don't know if he's the first to think of it or if he thought of it alone, but like it's a really great idea.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
I think waypoints are good, and I'm surprised I haven't heard this idea before.
Well, so. I'm just glad we heard it in the coolest accent we've had on the show today.
The orange nipple.
The orange nipple might be today's
show title. I put a vote in for that.
All right.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Let's move on to this one.
Hey, Scott, John, and Bo. I have another tip for you for map movement with Heroes of the Storm. If you hold down the shift key and right click around the map, it will create a path that your character will follow. It works the same way as it does in StarCraft 2, I think. Just heard you talking about that on your last show. I thought that was pretty interesting. My name's Kevin Douglas. I'm Keto in the Frog Pants chat. Keep up the good work, guys. Love the show.
A reminder to join that chat, slash join space Frog Pants next time you're in the game, in the just in the little chat window there, and you'll join our little gaming group. So I knew this, and I think most of us knew this, but maybe there's some players who don't. It's called pathfinding, typically, in RTS genres, and it's been around forever, and they all do it. Age of Empires did it. StarCraft 1 and 2 do it. Command and Conquer did it. Very common. Just hold down Shift. You right-click around. He'll follow that path, and you can even, in Heroes, you see a little green dashed animated line for the path he's taking. And what I'll do a lot of times is, you know, Bo will say, we need to meet up near boss. Don't go in, but just meet up there. And I'm trying to keep my eye on some other thing. I'll do that path, a sort of a safe route around where I know I'm not going to get attacked, and let that go while I'm off looking at something else and know that he's going to get there. And, you know, by the time I'm done looking, I can go back up top and he's just about to arrive or whatever. So it's very useful. And you can also attack move with that. So people know that you can hit A and click on the map and your character will keep moving forward and attack, auto attacking anything it runs into. The same can be done with the shift as well. So just doing, you know, shift attack A or A move basically around the map, you can do the exact same thing. So anyway, anything to add on that from either of you?
No, that seems, it seems good. I've known about it. I haven't really used it. Mm. And I'm at a point in Hero League right now where I'm sort of stuck at the high 10th and I'm trying to look for edges. So I would be curious to know if those kind of techniques are helpful for my game or not. But it's definitely something you can do. I think
you can do it on the mini map too, I should mention. Yeah, you don't have to do
It's kind of useful, like you said, for getting to places when there isn't a lot going on.
Right.
But I think otherwise you don't want to commit to a course of action because things change so quickly in that game. But yeah, no, it's good. It's a good little PSA for another function.
Yeah, and you can cancel the movement anytime too, which is important to note. You can just, you know, click somewhere else and it'll stop.
Yeah. But you just need to Hero League more with me, Bo, because we win games.
Yeah.
Also, if you're playing Kerrigan and you do the WE in the wrong order, you will see that green line. So if you are seeing that green line when you're playing Kerrigan, you're comboing wrong.
Oh, interesting.
It's W,
really?
Then E, not E, then W.
Remember, it's we. There is no I in we. What? Anyway.
Yeah, you don't want to ooh, you want to we.
Hey, that's not bad.
What's that? Wee, all the way
good
home.
Advice.
All right, here's this.
You guys brought up that there's going to be voice chat at some point for Heroes of Storm. And that seems like a problem for me because, well, while I'm playing, I usually listen to like a podcast or something, your guys' podcast. And I want to know if that's really normal. Do a lot of people listen to the game audio? Because I hardly ever do.
Well, if you're playing with a team and you're trying to coordinate, I hope you're talking to them. But maybe he only solo queues and that's it and just listens to other stuff or watches TV or something.
Yeah, I play a lot of solo queue too. And, I often listen to Frog Pants shows available at frogpants.com.
Oh, wow. That was an impressive, snuck that in there.
And, you know, among other podcasts, and I watch Twitch streams while I play and things like that. So for sure, if I want a solo queue experience, might not want that level of, like, you could actually get voice chat now. Curse just has an overlay for this, so thankfully it's optional. But if I'm solo queuing and I'm not tryharding, I just want a relaxing game, then I definitely don't want to be talking to other people. So I think what this question is driving at is if Blizzard has a chat that's just always on in the game, like it is in Overwatch right now.
It is, but you can you don't have to. I mean, you can mute it real easy.
Yeah, but is everyone going to start reporting you for being non-participant? Because if the baseline expectation does become that, especially more in Hero League than maybe in casual modes, if the expectation is that you're on voice comms at all times, that will change it up for me, who's used to not being on TeamSpeak.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Let them report me. I'll report them for being a podcast interrupting jerk face.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Everyone in Hero League comes in with the implicit agreement that they're going to try their best, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
So if I'm not on voice comms, I'm intentionally not trying my best when the opponents are all, in theory, utilizing it. So you may have to adapt to that change if you want to play ranked games, because that's the community's expectation, and the community, I don't think, would be wrong. if you're playing casual quick matches, then do what you want. There's, you know, that expectation should only go, come with people who are trying to compete.
Yeah, world's your oyster at that point. It's your game. Play it how you want to. Also, I like, I got a new acronym from John there. It's P-I-J-F.
P-I-J-F.
Podcast Interrupting Jerk Face.
There you go.
Never going to forget.
P-I-J-F.
Yeah. P-I-J-F. Is that what I said? P-I-J-F. I
said PIGF, but PIGF.
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 Is it GIF or JIF? Come on. Let's have that argument. Ready?
Jife.
Jife. Love it. I haven't heard that one yet. All right. One last call.
Gentlemen, stick to your guns. Do not listen to the haters. His name is Jim from Utah. The haters know nothing. They must be resisted. That is all I have to say at this time.
No carrot, no Jim. What was our other one? Carl Jim? None of that.
Carl Jim.
He wants, they all want Jim from Utah. Well, this guy does. This one guy does.
Which, if you follow our Twitter stream, we found out is not actually that far off from the Korean translation of his name.
Yeah, and I found that I have a Korean brother, a native Korean brother, who I need to ask this question of. I need to say, Matt, what is... But how would you translate this name and see what he tells me? And if he says that, confirmed, keeping it, Jim from Utah. So take that.
Yeah. And that, and he, that's what he yells. He says, feel the wrath of Utah.
Yeah.
That's totally what he says.
Yeah, Utah. Which, Jim from Utah.
Yeah, we like it. Yeah, we're so, keeping it.
Yeah. All right, he's Jim from Utah. And if you can't distinguish that from Jim from, where is Rainer from?
Rainer's
Jim from
the Korpulu sector.
Yeah, Jim from, we'll say Jim from Korpulu. If we're talking about Jim Rayner, and we'll say Jim from Utah, if we're talking about the guy who believes in a thousand gods and has no hair.
Look, he says it himself. This is Jimmy. Yeah. If we're talking about Rayner, it's Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Right click Rayner.
Hey, Jimmy. Well, that's what Tychus calls him. Did anyone else call him Jimmy?
He calls himself Jimmy.
I mean, like, what's his name? Carcassonne or what? Who's the bad guy? Who's the?
Oh, Kerrigan calls him Jim, I guess.
He calls him Jim, and then what's his name? The guy is bad. The human bad guy, with the son. What's his name?
Manx.
His name sucks too. But he always calls him James. So
that's
James Rayner. I'll destroy this world with you on it, James. Right, like that. And then you got Tychus going, Jimmy.
StarCraft's cool.
I've always got a card to play.
StarCraft is cool, and it's at its coolest when it's a space western.
Yeah.
Good job, StarCraft. Good job. If you want to send in your own calls, it's super damn easy. 801-471-0462, or as you heard with those people just then, they used core@heroesforyou.com and sent voice memos from their phones. You are certainly welcome to do that, so feel free. I think it's going to do it. Nice long show today. Big and beefy. Like a man.
Like a holiday.
Make it beefy like a man.
Like a man.
I'm Jim from Utah.
If you want more of this, you can go to heroesforyou.com. Everything's linked there. Join the Frog Pants channel in the game and play with us and other listeners. core@heroesforyou.com again is the email address. We're on Twitter @coreheroes, @John_Jagger, @ScottJohnson, and @BoSchwartz. It's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Orange nipples.
Orange nipple.